What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute or daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So, you know, and some people get, sometimes even newer believers to the faith, sometimes they think, oh, well, and maybe they struggle to have works or to show works in their life. And they say, well, they kind of get caught in this place where it's like, oh, well, God knows my heart, or it's all about your heart. And God does see your heart. But as James is saying here, God also sees your works. Your works matter just as much. So you also have to provide works that show what you believe. The same way that he gives the example of if a brother or sister was you know, needed clothes or food, that you wouldn't just say, oh, well, God bless you, I really hope that. I really care a lot about that, and I hope you get what you need. But you should actually be able to provide that for them, because that's why he says, can faith alone save you? And faith alone can't save you, but you have to have works as well. In the same way that just seeing someone who's struggling or in need and just caring a lot about them is not going to save them. You know, you could see someone who's hungry or starving, or someone who doesn't have enough clothes or is cold, and just caring a lot about that situation is not going to do anything for them. Just caring and really hoping that, you know, that good things happen to them is not going to do anything for them. But if you were to provide a jacket, a shirt, or whatever they needed, if you were to give them food or buy something for them, that would save them. That would help them. So you need to have works as well. You know, the caring heart is good, but it needs to be put into action. It needs to actually manifest some type of action and some type of something to show that you actually do care. So they say that actions speak louder than words, and that's kind of what James is talking about here, is that, you know, your words, and you can have the right attitude and you can say the right things, but your actions need to match that, and your actions is actually what's going to make a change. Your actions are what's going to actually impact people's lives and show them that you are a Christian by what you do, not just by what you say you do or what you say you believe, but by the things that you actually do and put into action and do before people, that will show that that you believe what you say you believe. And that's what ministers will talk about when they say, you know, just live a life before people. You know, those are works. You know, it's not sometimes people think works is just like speaking in tongues or miracles or things, but just living a Christian life and not, you know, maybe not cussing or not wearing certain clothes or avoiding certain things or praying or reading your Bible when you get some free time, or those certain things are going to be what people see about you and then say, oh, well, that they actually believe what they're saying. You know, there's many people who will say, I'm a Christian. And then people will kind of realize when they hang around them or talk to them that they say they're a Christian, but they're not really that much different from the rest of the world. There's nothing really about their life that really strikes as being so different from the rest of the world that they're living their life a different way according to how the rest of the world is living. But when they see someone who is a Christian, and that's why the word church, as Brother Brennan points out, is it means a called out people. You have to be living your life separately from how the world is living their lives. And that's why when they see a real Christian, when you say you're a Christian, and then they see you, you know, not cuss, they see you dress modestly, they see you, you know, maybe if when you get some free time, you just open up a scripture just to read something, or they see you pray over your food before you eat it. They're going to see those things. And those are the works, those are the actions that when you put your faith into action and you actually do what the scripture says, people will be able to see those things, and then they'll be able to see, wow, that person really believes, you know, what they say they believe. That's what's going to show your faith is by your actions, which is what James is talking about. You're talking about your show. You'll have it. You know. It says. Says show me faith. Show me faith without works, and I'll show you faith by works. So you. Some people will say, "Oh, well, I have faith, and I don't need works." But he's saying, "I can show you my faith by my works. I'm a man of my word. I do what I believe is what I act out in the world." So that's our goal as Christians. That's our desire. It's imperative that we act out what we believe. We don't just say we believe something. And think of that example that James has given of that man or that sister, who the brother or sister who's just naked and doesn't have anything to eat, and you just say, and you having a desire or you saying, well, I care for them, but I don't have to do anything for them. That's kind of what it's like when you say you have faith, but you don't need works. It's like, I care about that person who's starving, but I don't have to do anything for them. I'm just going to care about them, and then I'm going to leave them alone to starve and freeze in the cold. And that it's a very, it's really, it almost gets to a point where you're just kind of doing it so you feel good about yourself. And there's many people who do that, where they'll pretend to have empathy or sympathy for people who are in need or troubled, and they kind of do it just so they feel good as a person. Like, oh, I care a lot about this, but they never do anything to actually help. You know, those people, they kind of just want to do it because they want to appear as a virtuous person or to appear as a moral person, but they never do anything to actually help. And James is saying, we cannot be like that. We cannot say we care and then disobey the scriptures. We cannot say we care about the word and then be respecters of persons and treat people differently based on, you know, how much we respect them or how highly we think of them. We cannot have the faith of Jesus Christ and be respecters of persons. We cannot have the faith of Jesus Christ and say things and then not do them and be hypocrites. And that's what Jesus was calling out in the Pharisees, that they would say they believed and they had works, but their works were, they believed, the Pharisees were too heavy on works. And now, you know, Jesus tries to counterbalance that with grace, and now people are too heavy on grace to where they think that, oh, nothing I do matters. But it's going to be that we have to hit that middle ground where it's like, you know, we know that it's not all works, but we know there's grace, but that doesn't mean we get rid of works. We need to have both. Understand that we're going to do the best that we can. And when we do mess up, that's when God comes in and gives us grace. But it's not that we just give up because grace is there. And there's many scriptures in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, that talk about how just because there is grace now, because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, does not mean that we just give up on living right and being Christians. And for, let's see, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect? So you cannot be made perfect without works. So people can say, oh, it's in my heart. People can say, well, I believe, but I just can't live the life right. Or I believe God's real, but I just don't know how to live it. Well, then you cannot be perfected. You cannot be made perfect. It says that Abraham, by works, his faith was made perfect. So you cannot be perfected if you do not have works to go along with your faith. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Verse 15. So this is after I'm sure we all know the story of Abraham and Isaac, and he God told him to sacrifice his son, and then he goes to do it, and then the lamb is provided so that Abraham doesn't have to do it, but it shows Abraham's faith in God. And verse 15 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So there you see exactly, God lays out, the angel of the Lord lays out exactly the reason why Abraham receives his blessing. In verse 18, he says, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So obedience is not something that you can do without action. Obedience is not something that you can just really feel good about or really feel like, you know, well, God knows my heart. I don't like, but obedience is not God knows my heart. Obedience is I'm going to do this because God says so. You cannot obey without some type of works. You cannot obey, you know, or even sometimes it's not always doing something, but sometimes God will tell you not to do something. And that'll be your obedience. But it's by your actions. It's by what you do or don't do according to the scriptures that will bring blessings. And there is a causal relationship between obedience and blessing. It says, because you have obeyed. So, and that promise is still true for anyone who obeys the scriptures, who obeys the God, who obeys the angel of the Lord. It is because we obey that blessings can be bestowed upon us. So keep in mind, there is a causal relationship. If you want blessings, you must obey. And that will cause blessings to come in your life. And this scripture is very explicit. It is because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. And it's because of the things that he did. It's because he was willing to sacrifice his son, even not understanding completely what was going on, but just understanding that God had told him to do something, or that God desired that something be done. So because he obeyed the will of the Lord, because he obeyed those things, because he put his faith into action, that is what saved him, that is what blessed him, and that's what justified him. So let's go back to James. James 2, verse 23. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. So how do we know that Abraham believed God? It was because he acted upon what he believed. He didn't just say, well, Abraham, you know, had a good heart and then God blessed him. And Abraham, you know, he just felt really good about God and he cared a lot. You know, he never did anything, but he just cared a lot about the word and God blessed him. No, it was because Abraham put his faith into action. He didn't just believe, but you know he believed because of what he did. You know, it wouldn't make much sense for someone to say, well, I believe you. Or maybe if you told someone, oh, let's meet here at a certain time. And you say, I believe you. But then they don't show up because they didn't think you were going to come. So there's a miscommunication here. There's not a trust. There's not a belief in what someone is saying. If you both agree to something and one of you and someone doesn't, you know, fulfill their end because they weren't sure what you were going to fulfill your end. That is not a belief. They might say they believe you, but it is not a belief. If they don't act upon it, if they don't show up, if they don't show with their actions that they believe you. So that's how we know Abraham believed God. It's because he took Isaac and they walked up the hill and they went to the altar and he prepared for a sacrifice and he was ready. He was truly going to sacrifice his son. And that's when God stepped in and said, you know, he honored his faith and provided a lamb. So it was by his belief is how we know, by what he did is how we know Abraham believed God. It says, and it imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So this strikes because some people think the Bible, you know, is just a book of rules, but it's really a book about relationship. You know, and obedience is friendship with God. Because that's how Abraham came to be, as it says he was called the friend of God. And I think all of us as Christians should desire to be the friend of God. And the way we become a friend of God is through obedience, through what Abraham did, you know, with Isaac, it was the obedience to God's word and to what God told him to do. It was that obedience that made Abraham a friend of God. And in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and he had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So that story of Rahab is such an interesting story. And Brother Luis talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. But Rahab was a harlot, and yet because of her works, you know, she and her family were saved from what happened in Jericho. And that's why we cannot have the faith of Jesus Christ and be respecter of persons, because God can use anyone, and especially the people that we least expect. You know, no one who reads the Bible, most people who are Christians, we don't really expect, you know, much from people who are maybe irreverent or living certain lifestyles that we wouldn't deem appropriate, like Rahab was as a harlot. But God can still use those people. God can still use someone like Rahab, you know, for the glory of his kingdom, because she protected those the Israelite spies. You know, and also, some people try to be legalist, and they try to follow every letter of the law to a T. But I think the story of Rahab shows that God is a God of understanding. So we know that, you know, lying is wrong. God, we know God hates lying, and he doesn't like murder. But God understands people, and he understands context. He understands that there's context for certain things. So we know lying is wrong. But when Rahab hid those spies, she lied in order to protect them. She lied so that to protect them. And God's not going to say, oh, well, Rahab lied, so, you know, she'll be cursed now instead of blessed. No, he understands the context behind that. Joshua sent the spies to Jericho, and that she protected them through lying, even though we might see that as contradictory. But God is a God of understanding. He's not, you know, people think of God as just, he's just this judge in the sky who just judges everything you do and just deals out punishment, you know, when it needs to be dealt out. But God understands. And that's why when Jesus comes, he says, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So it's not that, you know, when he's healing people on the Sabbath and they're getting so legalistic about it, and they're saying, well, you can't work on the Sabbath. You can't do things on the Sabbath. That's wrong. But God showed that he was a God of understanding. And he said, healing this man or this woman is more important than keeping the tradition of the Sabbath, because God cares more about that person than he cares about tradition. That person and their needs were more important than tradition to Jesus. That's why he healed them on the Sabbath, to show that this isn't about the law. This isn't about, like, these rules that are set in place are guidelines, but it's not that if you break them, that you're just automatically cut off, or that, you know, no matter what happens, if you break them, regardless of context, that God is going to smite you or curse you or be hateful or deal out punishment to you. But God understands context. That's why he's healing people on the Sabbath, because he cares more about that person. And there's so much compassion in the Bible. God is such a God of compassion, and he understands what you're going through. He understands these things. That's why in chapter 1, James talks about, you know, pure religion is giving aid to the fatherless and the widows. And because he's trying to show that God has compassion for these people, the people who are experiencing pain and loss and don't have a father figure or parents to look up to, or widows who've been married for so long and then their husband dies and there's no one to provide for their family or take care of them. God is seeing all those situations, and he cares about those things. I mean, next time you read the Bible, maybe just look at every time a widow or fatherless or those type of words or the way the Bible talks about people who are experiencing suffering. That is the nature of God, to see what those people are going through and care about what they're going through and have compassion for those situations. So we see here, even when Rahab lied, which we know lying is wrong, but God understands the context that she was lying in order to protect the Israelite spies, that her lie was honored, and her protecting them actually saved her and her family you know, from that day in Jericho where the Israelites attacked. So there's context, and God understands those things, and that's why it says, you know, I think it's if your bull gets stuck in a ditch or something on the Sabbath, you know, it's God's not going to smite you for that or curse you for that. God understands those situations, and to understand, and he understands those different things. And even the when God told Saul, you know, to kill the Amalekites, and you think that, well, I thought, you know, God said murder is wrong. He said thou shalt not kill. But the Amalekites were tormenting the Israelites, and they were enemies, and they were threatening to, you know, to go to war, and there were these different fightings and conflicts with the Israelites. And God said to go kill them all, because God understands the context behind, you know, we don't needlessly seek out violence, but self-defense, God understands the context of self-defense. God understands those things. So, and there's different situations where I didn't get into, but God is not just this unfeeling rule book. That's not what the Bible is. It's not an unfeeling, inhuman, unemotional rule book that we have to follow. But God understands context, and he understands what you're going through. He understands the different situations. He has compassion for those who are suffering, those who feel pain, and he doesn't want to leave you behind. So God bless you. You're dismissed.